How many of you all have heard of Wreck-It Ralph? Nobody. Oh, two. Well, we're going to be looking at two words in Hebrew, rackum and wreck-em this morning. Two words, rackum and wreck-em. So if you want to know how do you spell those, R-A-C-H-A-M and R-E-C-H-E-M. R-A-C-H-A-M and R-E-C-H-E-M. And neither one of them need anything about Wreck-It Ralph. I mean, I have not seen any of the movies that are the animated things that have Wreck-It Ralph in there. I've watched with some sort of enjoyment as I've been able to see trailers and things about Wreck-It Ralph. So, but that's not the reason why we're doing this, is because there are two words that, and some scriptures that, that Nicodemus should have known whenever he was talking to Jesus. He should have known about Rechem and Rackham. And so we want to, because that's going to, it's going to kind of open your mind up to some things whenever we're looking at the scripture. So first of all, let's find Nicodemus. Nicodemus in John, the third chapter. And then we'll be looking back into the Old Testament as some things that he should have been aware of. As we're getting ready to do this, I always like to offer up this time to be able to ask you if there are any people here that are wanting to ask some Bible questions. Are there any Bible questions this morning as we're getting ready to look at Rechem and Rackham? Any Bible questions that you all might have? I see one here. Are there any others? Let's see if I can... can I answer your question today, David? What kind of question do you have? Who were the Samaritans? There are still Samaritans today, but there are so very few of them. Many people believe that that all of the Palestinians are Samaritans. They're not. There may have some of the genetics mixed in with them. The Samaritans came out of interbreeding from Jews with other nations. And you'll say, well, how did that happen? Because weren't the Jews kind of xenophobic about interbreeding with other nations? Well, yes, they were. And you can say, well, how did that happen? Well, the kingdom after Solomon's time, David was the second king of Israel. Do you all know who the first king of Israel was? Who said that? And the first king was Saul. Saul was the first king. David was the second king. Solomon was the third king. And after the Solomon, there was a civil war. And the kingdom was divided into two groups. There was a group that was in the northern area that was called Israel, and the group in the southern area that was called Judah. After a period of time, God allowed, because God has plans that must be played out. Sometimes we say, everything is so wonderful. I just love God. Everything's great. God does all, he works all things together for good. Yes, he does. But sometimes we don't see it for a while and we get to being very bitter because we don't know why he hasn't worked it together for good yet. And so, the northern kingdom was overrun by the Assyrians. A great number of them were taken into captivity. And whenever they were taken into captivity, there were some that were left behind, but whenever they were taken into captivity, years later, they were able to return. Now, whenever they returned, they came back intermarried among the peoples that they went into. And I may be simplifying the history some here, but I'm just helping you to know who the Samaritans. After they returned, they became known as the Samaritans. Okay? So they were a mixed lineage. And they, because the Jews were xenophobic, the Jews looked down upon them as being impure. We've never had anything like that happen in our nation, considering one group or another to be impure. I mean, we don't even have that today, do we? We look at anybody and say, well, they're mixed and they're impure. I mean, we didn't do that whenever the Native Americans and the Europeans intermarried. There was no problem with the fact that they were intermarrying. Y'all are from Oklahoma. We can talk about these things a little more openly and a little more honesty than they do in the other part of the nation. but that happened a lot, and that was a because it was mixed, it was looked down upon. Well, the Samaritans were considered to be impure of a lesser degree, and because they were treated so harshly, they made life difficult for people who lived in Judah. Samaria was in between. Up above was the Galilee area where Jesus lived all of his young life. He was born in Bethlehem, but whenever his family came back from Egypt, they moved into the Galilee area. Samaria was in between when people were going back and forth between Galilee and Judah. The Samaritans would make it difficult whenever they passed through there. I mean, they were constantly harassing one another. They were kin. That never happens among any of your families, does it, where you all are harassing one another? Now, I want you all to know something. I do harass people, but I only harass the people I love. So if you see me harassing someone, know this, I love them. Now, if I'm yelling at them real loud and violently, I'm not harassing them. Some part of me has taken over me. And you can come up to me and say, can you just bring that down a little bit? I don't think any of us really need to see that. That happens from time to time. I apologize. But whenever I'm harassing somebody, it's because I love them. I do not harass people that I do not love. And I mean, I try to be kind to them. But if I just don't try to harass them. But anyway, they harassed one another. So the Samaritans were the intermarried Jews that were just above Judah. And above them was the Galilee area where Jesus started his ministry. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Sure. Yeah. Sure. 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 That's the Good Samaritan. Whenever the man was attacked and was left for dead, and the Jewish priest came by and looked at him and passed on the other side because he didn't want to defile himself. And we don't know. We think that the man was probably a Jew that was laying there almost dead. And then a Levite came by and passed by on the other side and didn't want to defile himself. And then a Samaritan comes along who, whenever Jesus was telling that story, there were people that were saying, a Samaritan? What's he doing in one of your stories? So because they looked down upon the Samaritans. And the reason they called them Samaritans was because the capital city of Israel, the northern part, the northern kingdom that split off the southern, was Samaria. And so they called them the Samaritans because they did not allow them to have a Jewish name after they came back from being in captivity. I think I've told the story correctly. If y'all need to correct me on any of those things, please do. All right. Any other Bible questions that we have this morning? All right. Now we want to get into Nicodemus and look at what he should have known. What he should have known. After all, young people in Israel were required, all of you young people that are here today, I see one, two, and they're both sitting over here, and one of them's old enough to be able to be aware of what I'm going to talk about, and the other one may be listening to me and be aware one of these days. But by the time they were 10 years of age, they were required to have memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. After they were about the age of between the age of 13 to 17, they were required to have memorized all of the Old Testament. What kind of school would that be like? Well, most of us wouldn't want to go to school there. But they were required to memorize all of the Old Testament. And so we're going to find out when Jesus talks to Nicodemus, Jesus expects Nicodemus to know what's in the Old Testament. And we're going to be looking at the Old Testament after we see what happens between Nicodemus. So we're going to start in John, the 3rd chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus means, it can have two meanings. Victory over the people or victory for the people. Which one do you want to be in your ruler? Do you want someone who has victory over you? Or somebody who brings victory to you? Well, that's what we want. We need to pray for leaders that they would be people who bring victory to us. And we need to pray that for every leader we have. That if they're not bringing victory, that they won't keep others who can bring victory to us from being able to do that, whether they be elephants or they be donkeys or whatever they may be. So anyway, we see here that there was a man whose name was Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night, and everybody says, well, he was sneaking around because he was ashamed. I don't know. Maybe that was the best time to catch Jesus. During the daytime, we understand that there were multitudes that were following him. Somebody might not be able to get to him. Although I have an idea later on whenever they really try to pinpoint Nicodemus down and they say, do you believe in him? You don't believe in him, do you? That actually he may have come at night because he was ashamed to be seen with Jesus. And he came to him by night and said unto him, Teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. We know that you are a teacher come, not just a teacher taught by God, but come from God. They've already gone into his background. And they've studied out. They found, in Jerusalem, they used to have a house of lineage where they would be able to go into that house of lineage and they would be able to look up people who their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents and everybody so that they could prove that they were a pure-blood Jew. This was very important to them. And so they went back and looked at his lineage. In doing that, they found out that his mother was pregnant before the wedding had been before the marriage had been consummated. And they found reasons to not believe in him because they were looking for reasons not to believe in him. And the thing of it is that they knew that he had to come from God because nobody had ever taught him how to do those kind of miracles. In fact, they didn't know anybody who could teach how to do miracles like that. I know there's a lot of people who tell you they can teach you how to do miracles. So anyway, they said, "You because nobody can do the miracles that you do." And Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, amen, amen, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born from above. Now I want you to know that word again there means from above. And so except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see that there's a kingdom. Can't see that God is on the throne. Can't see the possibilities of what is yet to be. They cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus immediately said unto him, how can a man be born whenever he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I've read it slowly with some emphasis so that you'll be able to see here that he was talking about entering into, how can he be born whenever he is old? And can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It's very important that you remember that verse, verse number 4. And Jesus said, verily, verily, amen, amen, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you can't see the kingdom of God except that you've been born from above. And unless you have been born again, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God and enjoy the blessed blessings that come from being a part of the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born from above. So we must stop and ask ourselves, have we been born from above? Have I been born from above? Have I become a new creation? We must ask ourselves, because if I've just got kind of feeling guilty in church one day and the preacher was very skillful at making me feel guilty, and I mean, he used all the right the scare tactics and all the things about the fact that if you're a sinner, you have unforgiven sin, and there's a good 15-20% chance that if somebody your age is going to die this week, and you may die and go to hell and everything like that. I'm not putting that down, but I'm just saying that if you come to Jesus and it's because you feel guilty and you're only there because of your guilt and you never really established or were willing to give your life to him so that you could have an intimate relationship with him, then you need to say, am I really born again? Because it's an intimate relationship. You must be born from above. And then he goes on, he talks about the Spirit. The wind blows where it will, and in Oklahoma it does that about 3 or 4 times a day on some days. You're going to find the wind is blowing from any particular direction all the way around. Even the other day it was blowing from the south, and then it went from the southeast, and then it went from the east, and then it went from the northeast, and it started coming out of the north, and the next day it was coming out of the west, and then the southwest. And so why does the wind do that? You can say, well, that's the way it does in Oklahoma. Well, I mean, do we understand why the wind changes all those directions? And he said, here the wind blows where it will, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell why it's coming from that direction, and you can't tell why it's going where it goes. So is everyone that is born from above by the Spirit. You will be led in ways that you cannot be led now. You will be a person who is being moved by the Spirit. And if you've been born again, you should know that you're being moved by the Spirit. You need to know that's part of the purpose of your life, to be moved by the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can this be? I don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus answered and said unto him, you are a teacher, a master. You are a teacher of Israel, and you do not know or understand these things. Because remember, what was the question he asked? He said, how can a man be born whenever he is old, and can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So we're going to go back to the mother's womb in the Old Testament, and we want to find the Old Testament word for womb in that place. So if you will go with me, because it's going to be one of two words, and I've already spoken those Hebrew words to you, rechem or rachem, and these two words are pretty much the same. They have a little bit difference in some places, but they in these places they're going to mean pretty much the same thing. So we're going to go back to Jeremiah, the first chapter, Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse, Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5. I hope that y'all are ready to have the Word speak to you today, because we want to see what, if Nicodemus was a teacher, a master, he had to know the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and he also had to know all of the Old Testament. He had to have it memorized. So whenever Jesus was speaking to him, you must be born again, and he's talking about going back into his mother's womb, he had an understanding of some of the things that Jesus was saying, but he did not have enough of an understanding to be able to reason with him, because he said at the very end, how can these things be? So we're going to be looking in Jeremiah chapter 1 and starting with verse 5. All right, well, let's start in verse 4, and it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the belly. So, sometime or another, in the belly, Jeremiah was formed, just like all of us, just like every baby since Adam and Eve. He said, before, this is God, the word of the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And this word for knew here doesn't mean that he just said, I had some awareness of who you were. He said, I knew everything about you. I knew every day what it would be like. I knew what your up days would be like. I knew what your down days would be like. And I knew what your days could be like if you had an intimate relationship with me. So he's saying to him, I knew you. I've known every word that's been in your mouth before you've ever spoken it. And I'm ashamed of some of the words that my mouth has spoken, that God says, I knew that word before you ever spoke it. And he says, and before you came out of the womb, rechem, before you came out of the womb, how can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time? Before you came out of the rechem, I purposed and set you aside for a particular life. Every one of us are living a particular life. Some of us are saying, well, if only I could be like Bonnie. I want to be like Bonnie. She has the life I want to live. Or maybe we're saying, I wish that I could be like James. I want to be like James. He has the life I want to live. Because that's what we do an awful lot in life, is we're always looking around and saying we'd like to be somebody else. And God is saying, no, no, no. I purposed your life before you came out of the womb. And so we want to be able to see that we have rechem here. And we want to know something about that word rechem, because it can mean two things. Rechem can mean womb, or it can mean mercy. Now then, there's a special word for mercy that's used most of the time. It can mean, it's called chesed in the Hebrew, but in this word here is rechem. Before you came out of rechem, I set you apart for a special life, and I purposed your life. You were going to be a prophet. You were going to be a prophet from the time that you were in the womb. So we see here that, and I want y'all to remember, rechem can remember, everybody say with me this word, mercy. Say it with me again, mercy. Or it can mean womb. So he knew about womb. How can a man enter into his mother's womb? Well, can we enter into the, wait for it, can we enter into the mercies of God more than once? Because this word here means mercy or womb. So we want to catch this word again in a couple of places. So let's go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, and in Isaiah 46, and we're going to look at verse 3. Isaiah 46, verse 3. And it's 46 verse 3, and it says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly." Do you think that he purposed one way of planning for the lives of one kind of people, and he purposed another way for another type of people? Let me tell you something. If he planned and he wove them together in the belly, Jeremiah, and the house of Israel in the belly, you were woven by the hands of God in your mother's belly. You were done. That's what God did. I want you all to think about that. Whenever he was weaving you, he just wasn't thinking of you 9 months or 3 months or 6 weeks or 2 weeks before you were born. He was thinking of every day of your life. Now, one time I had a person who once came to me and said to me, I've heard somebody say this. Is it in the Bible? It's not, but I like what it says. Because the person at one time said that they thought that it could be possible that maybe whenever God was getting ready to send somebody into this world, because whenever that sperm and that egg comes together, this is not in the Bible. This is extra. I'm taking you away from stuff. I'm going to make your mind think a little bit. That whenever he was getting ready to put that spirit into that sperm and egg that had come together, that he was putting that spirit soul into that. That spirit soul said to him, "What's it going to be like?" And God said, "Oh, it'll be rough. I don't want to go then." "No, no, you don't know. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." Do you ever wonder why sometimes whenever you hear somebody say, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you," it makes the hair stand up on your arms or on the back of your neck? Because somewhere you know the voice that has spoken those things. But anyway, this is not in the Bible, because they were saying that maybe that God had done this. I don't know for sure that God had said, "I'm going to be with you. I'll tell you about everything in your life. Oh, God, I don't know whether I can stand that or not, but I will never leave you. As long as you're with me, I will be able to face anything." Isn't that a marvelous thought? It's just a thought now. It's not in the Bible. So anyway, he said in verse 3, he said, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb." This word here is racham, which is the same basically word as rechem, and it means mercy, which are carried from the mercies. My mercies. And so then we're going to skip from there to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, and we're going to look at verse 7 of Isaiah 54. If some of y'all are going to want to go look these words up somewhere, I can tell you where to be able to go and find them easily if you're wanting to do that. Go to one, all of these words run together, blueletterbible.org. And look up these particular words so that you can see what I'm doing to you. It's not just Phil Thompsonology. Well, you told us about the thing God said, and then you told us that that's not in the Bible. Well, what I'm telling you right now is in the Bible. And you can find out what the words rechem, R-E-C-H-E-M, and R-A-C-H-A-M, what they mean by looking up these particular verses that I'm giving to you. And in Isaiah 54:7, it says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee," or has it appeared as though I haven't always been with you, "but with great mercies," rachem, womb, "will I gather thee." So I want you to know that whenever Jesus was saying unto him, "You must be born again," and Nicodemus was saying, "How can a man, whenever he is old, enter a second time into his mother's womb?" That there was some kind of understanding that was going on in Nicodemus, but there was not enough understanding. Jesus wasn't taunting him. I believe he was harassing him a little bit because Jesus loved Nicodemus. Y'all remember that? You'll see me with somebody and I'll be kind of picking with them and messing with them and everything. He said, "Are you a teacher? Have you learned all of the Old Testament and you don't understand these things?" So we see this happening in these scriptures. And so in Isaiah 54:7, I have other scriptures, but I don't have enough time to be able to give them all to you. And he says, "With great womb will I gather you, and with great mercies will I gather you." Now then the last thing I want to go look at is going to be in Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36. Because Jesus said you must be born from above, you must be born of the Spirit, and you must be born of the water. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. And we're going to look at Ezekiel 36, and we're going to start with verse 26. Because God has made a promise to His people through Ezekiel. They're all in captivity. They're all in Babylon. And God is making a promise, and He says, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Now then the rest of this scripture, and from here all the way down to the end of chapter 36, talks about what the Spirit wants to accomplish in them. So Jesus said that you must be born from above. So today, I think every one of us in here wants to say, "Yes, I have been born from above." Have you had an intimate relationship with the womb of the Spirit? Have you become a new creation, or did you go through the motions? You say, "I don't want to think that I went through the motions." That's good. Because the one who said to Nicodemus, oh, he hooked Nicodemus that night. Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus. Eventually, he's going to be willing to give up everything to be a follower of Jesus. And so he became somebody amazing because he was born again from the mercy womb of God. God has mercy for sinners. He wants to transform sinners into saints. Now some of y'all are going to be chewing on that all week long. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. Let you know about this God who has mercy and wants to do good things for you and to you. We're going to be dismissed in prayer, and then I'm going to ask Eric to come back here so that you all can come by and thank him. And so that you can bless him and pray for the things that are getting ready to happen in his and in his family's life, and do good things for him. Father, I want to thank you for the grace that you've given to us, the joy that you want to give to us, the life that you want to give to us, a life that we cannot have. Nicodemus was unaware until Jesus told him, you must be born from above. And being born into this world and memorizing all those scriptures, that's not enough. You must be born from above. You must become out of the womb of mercy. The womb that gives you mercy and causes things to be changed. And so, Father, today, in Jesus' name, we ask you to lead us in those things. In Jesus' name, amen.